Welcome to the Terry and Jesse Show. Mary Danielle is filling in for Jess today, and I'm just honored to have her here. And don't forget, after this show, we have the Bible with the Barbers. It'll be a very interesting show. Today, we're going to be talking about, we're going to be talking about a lot of things, but one thing that we're going to talk about is, are the vaccines failing? Well, let's look at the statistics. Let's don't look at judgment of, oh, I bet they are. No, let's look at the numbers, because I think they are. Also, the other big question, are lockdowns working? And we have another professor saying, no, they're not working. And we have so much more on the COVID vaccine to talk about. But I also have some great stories of, man, inspirational stories. I have a story of a young man, had a near-death experience, and now he's a Catholic priest. Oh, my gosh. He was 25 years old when this happened, and God saved his life. And he talks about this spiritual journey. It's powerful. And I have another story you won't want to miss about a young man who his mother, you know, was embarrassed that she was pregnant with him. And so she went to get an abortion, and the abortion was botched. He came out alive, had some limbs messed up with his feet and his hands. And by golly, the story of his life is very inspiring. I've heard of people having like this before here in Los Angeles, but it does happen. And it was very inspirational. Also, I want to share another inspirational thing with the video that came out which is an unusual thing. It came out through National Geographic documentary on the development of the unborn child. This is the first time they've been able to put a camera inside mama, and as the baby develops, you see it all. And I know that ultrasounds are effective to help people see that it's a baby, but this is taking it to another degree. So much, much more. But before we do any of that, as you know, we always love to take we call soul food, the Bible, the readings from today's Mass. And I also want to give kudos to St. Monica. It's her feast day.
Yeah, happy feast day.
So let's get the Gospel of Matthew in.
You have to get to Friday here.
Yep.
So we are on Friday of the 25th, first week of the year. It's Matthew 25, verses 1 through 13.
Yep.
Jesus told his disciples this parable. The kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. The foolish ones, when taking their lamps, brought no oil with them, but the wise brought flasks of oil with their lamps. Since the bridegroom was long delayed, they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight there was a cry, "Behold, the bridegroom, come to meet him." Then all the virgins got up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish ones said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise replied, "No, for there may not be enough for us and you. Go instead to the merchants and buy some for yourselves." While they went off to buy it, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went into the wedding feast with him. Then the door was locked. Afterwards, the other virgins came and said, "Lord, Lord, open the door for us." But he said in reply, "Amen, I say to you, I do not know you. Therefore, stay awake. You know neither the day nor the hour." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
So are we awake? Are we ready? Are we prepared?
I like the line, "Are we asleep at the wheel?"
Are we asleep at the wheel? You know what?
I hope not.
Stay ready so you don't have to get ready.
Exactly.
And that's a very Christian principle. Jesus is warning us, you know, each of us is going to have to face a judgment. Each of us is going to have a moment at our exit interview.
Yep.
Death is inevitable, by the way. We cannot escape it. All of us will die. That's reality. Some will die younger than others. Some will live longer than others. You know, that's all in God's hands. But are we ready to meet the Lord at any moment? And I remember Mother Mary Angelica used to say, "Don't think that death is going to change your will, honey. It will solidify it." So don't think you can live your life turned away from God and suddenly at the last moment, "Oh, I changed my mind. I want to turn toward God." No, and this is, you know, the virgins here. Well, you know, they're there. They go out to meet the Lord. You know, the whole, we could talk a long time about the implications here. And the, you know, the wedding feast for the Jews was much different than we experienced. So, you know, the bride was at her father's house. They were already betrothed, which means they were already married. But that she hadn't gone to live at her husband's house yet. And now the bridegroom is coming to get her, and they're going to have a big celebration. Well, the virgins are waiting because they're going to escort the bridegroom on this. And the thing is, they're going to have to carry their lamps to the bride's house with the bridegroom and then pick her up and then take them back to the groom's house to have this celebration. So, yeah, the virgins who brought the oil, who were prepared to go in, they don't know if they have enough to last. And their lamps aren't supposed to go out. So everybody was supposed to prepare for themselves. And, you know, in reading this, the thought that comes to me is, you know, a lot of people think, well, you know, look, I'm going to get into heaven on your merit. You know, you do all the work and you do all the prayers, and then I'll just get to heaven because you're so good, because I know you. It doesn't work that way. Each of us has to respond to God and give ourselves to God and allow God to work in our lives. And no, I can pray for you, but I can't say yes to God for you. Only you can say yes to God for yourself. Mm-hmm. And each of these virgins, those who prepared, were saying yes. And this is, you know, allegorically or in terms of morally. This is, how does this apply to our lives? Each of those who were prepared, who brought the oil, they had prepared. They had prepared through their love of God, through their prayer, through their charity toward their neighbor, through their acts of charity and service. Those who hadn't prepared are trying to prepare at the last minute. Don't wait. Prepare now. We don't know if we have tomorrow. Don't put off until tomorrow what you can do today.
And I think the Bible talks about the tree bends. The way the tree bends is the way it falls. Don't count on a deathbed conversion. They happen.
They do happen.
But
they
don't
do
count on it.
Don't count on it. And they happen when there are people who are sacrificing and suffering tremendously for that conversion. But again, the person on the deathbed has to say yes.
That's right. Free will. Mary, you're going to get more into that at the Bible with the Barbers after this show in that scripture verse. But I want to also at least bring up St. Monica's feast day. She's the mother of St. Augustine. So let's talk about her.
Well, Monica was, yes, the mother of St. Augustine. They had two other children. Her husband, Patricius, was a Roman senator, I believe, and he was not Christian.
No.
And so Augustine was not baptized as a child. So Monica prayed for Augustine all of his life, and it wasn't until he was 33 years old. So here she persevered in prayer for 30, you know, for 33 years, praying for his conversion, and she followed him all over the you know, the known world there. Where he went from, they were in Africa, they were in North Africa, and then he went to study in Italy, and she followed him, and she prayed, and she cried, and she begged God for his conversion, and eventually it came about.
That's beautiful. Well, I want to bring, before I bring Bishop Sheen into the room, I love some of these prayers that some people send me, and I thought it would be a really powerful prayer for keeping the faith. We need to spread the faith. We need to keep our faith. And this is a prayer. I bind myself, God's power to guide me, God's might to uphold me, God's wisdom to teach me, God's eye to watch over me, God's ear to hear me, God's word to give me speech, God's hand to guide me, God's way to lie before me, God's shield to shelter me, God's host to secure me. Living in the presence of God, these are prayers that we can pray during the day, little prayers that keep us focused on why we're here and where we're going. All right, let's bring the smartest guy into the room. Full sheen ahead. Mary Danielle, I thought of this. He said this 60 years ago, Bishop Sheen, but it's so apropos for today. He says, never before in history has the spiritual been so unprotected against the political. Religious freedom he's talking about. Never before has the political been so usurped by the spiritual. It's not religion that is meddling in politics. It's politics that's meddling in religion. Now, Mary, I want everybody to know, Anthony told me that we're putting these quotes on YouTube. It's a new YouTube channel called Full Sheen Ahead. So if you'd like to get Bishop Sheen's quotes, you can get that now. But what Bishop Sheen is really hitting on is a religious freedom. In other words, we're being told now through politics that politics is above our religion.
Right.
So I don't care, and I'll just give an example, vaccine exemptions.
Right.
Just got off the phone with a good doctor friend of mine. He's told by the hospital, if you don't get the vaccine, you can't work here. Even though he wrote a letter explaining the moral objections that he has to this vaccine, and they said, no, politics are above religion.
Right. So the politics has usurped the religious. The politics has usurped. And Bishop Sheen wrote this one back in the 1940s, the 1950s.
Yep.
And the reality is it's far worse now today than it was when Bishop Sheen was writing that. But are we willing to stand against the political to say, no, we have our religious freedom and we will fight. And if necessary, we will lay down our lives.
Amen.
For our religious freedom. Are we willing to be martyrs? White martyrs or red martyrs?
Yep.
Are we willing to give up our convenience in this world in order to defend our religious freedom?
That's the question. When we come back, we're going to talk about that very thing. And that question about vaccines, are they failing us? Well, we've got a good doctor that tells us, yes, they are failing, but he doesn't just say it, he gives all the statistics. You need this information to defend yourself. If that's what you choose, not to have the vaccine, you do that. We'll come right back. Terry and Jesse Show on Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Stay with us, family.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. Mary Danielle Barber visiting. She's my bride. And I love having her here. As a matter of fact, we're going to do another hour together called The Bible with the Barbers. If you like to study your Bible, check us out. I think you're going to like it. And if you can't get it on the station you're listening to, download our free app by going to vmpr.org to get that free app. Mary Danielle, before I talk about this topic about are the vaccines failing, I want everybody to know last week, or actually this Tuesday, Bishop Strickland and myself had a very, very frank discussion about the vaccines and what is, idea that we shouldn't be mandatory vaccines. Like in California, right now there's a bill that's going to say that you're going to be mandatory to be vaccinated. That goes against Catholic principles.
Right.
And so when people write to me and say, oh, you're just an anti-vaxxer, I've got vaccines. You know, my kids have some vaccines. I'm just saying that this vaccine, I'm objectionable to. My conscience tells me I don't want to do it. But I'm not going to condemn you if you decide that you think it's okay for your family. That's all. But let's look at the facts. And this is Dr. Peter
McCullough.
He tells that vaccines are failing. He says that a study by the Oxford University Clinic Research Group, you know, one of the little ones, Oxford University Clinical Research, how the Pfizer vaccine at 17% to 42% efficiency doesn't meet the regulatory standard of a 50% efficiency for vaccines.
So it's only 17% to 42% efficient.
Yeah.
And the regulatory requirement is that it be 50% efficient.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't meet that.
No. And new research shows more people are vaccinated against COVID and more susceptible to the Delta variant. This is that new one that's out there right now. And this particular research is pointing that out, that this is interesting. The paper's author demonstrates widespread vaccine failure and transmission under tightly controlled circumstances. So it's tightly in a hospital lockdown in Vietnam. The study found vaccinated people carry, are you ready for this? 251 times the load of COVID-19 virus in their nostrils compared to the unvaccinated, the study found. Mary, I mean,
These are the facts. That what happened is they were having outbreaks in this hospital. And so what's interesting is the article goes on mm-hmm. to point out that they had done a study in Ho Chi Minh Hospital before they started vaccinating people. So a year ago, before they started vaccinating people, they were testing and doing studies already.
Mm-hmm.
And so now they have a bunch of people vaccinated, and they have all these people vaccinated. They're working in the hospital. And so then people are getting sick. The patients are getting sick with COVID. So they locked the place down. Nobody can go in or out for 2 weeks. And then they started testing everybody in the hospital. And they found out that the fully vaccinated, those who are fully vaccinated, are carrying 251 times the load of COVID-19 virus in their nostrils. The vaccinated are making other people sick. We didn't make this up. You can look up this study. It was done. There's a printed paper by the Oxford University Clinical Research Group. And you can go ahead and look that up. And Robert Kennedy Jr. has this on his website, and you can follow it.
Yeah, and you know, Mary, more and more studies are showing this. Just like we've shared before, the mask studies, they got 40 different studies on LifeSite News showing that these masks do not work in the sense of keeping the virus away. So we're doing all of these things, lockdowns, mask wearing, and look at what's happening. People are still getting the virus. From what I read, Mary, this is just me reading these experts, it's like, wait a minute, 10,000 children worldwide die every month because of the lockdowns. I think this doctor said it. He said more people are dying because of the lockdowns than the virus. Now, that's pretty shocking. And I say that disheartening because we don't realize that we're going at this all the wrong way, and we're coming from fear. Now, this particular professor says the lockdowns are the single biggest mistake in public health, not 5 years, entire of our history.
And this is a Stanford medical professor, yeah. Dr. Jay Bhattacharya.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I think it's actually true.
Oh, I got it all there in the article.
Yeah, these lockdowns are, it's causing, and it's interesting, the lockdowns, during the lockdown, there were people who died of because they couldn't get treated for diseases other than COVID. So they were dying yep. from things that because they weren't couldn't be treated for them.
Yeah. And, you know, Mary, that's happening right now. There are hospitals with a lot of people in intensive care units. I keep reading about this. But then I read that they say, why are they putting him in intensive care units? Remember the story about the wife talking about her husband
yeah.
and said, you can treat this.
Well, he didn't even have COVID. He had pneumonia. And they'd been taking care of him at home, but he was getting to the point where he couldn't breathe. So they went to the hospital, and right away they said, oh, but he has COVID pneumonia. No, he doesn't. He has pneumonia. And so they put him in the ICU, and they said, this is going to be 10 days, and we have to put him on a ventilator, and we have to do this and this. And she said, no ventilator. Well, we'll ask him. He said, no ventilator. We're not a ventilator family. We don't do that. And so she insisted on the intravenous nutrition, vitamin C, mm-hmm. vitamin D, zinc in therapeutic dosage. And then she insisted on the ivermectin and the anti-inflammatories, the budesonide inhaler, the ivermectin and the hydroxychloroquine. Those are anti-inflammatories that can be used in any anti-inflammatory disease. Mm-hmm. And her husband, they had said, oh, he'll be in ICU at least 10 days. He was in ICU for 3 days.
Yep.
3.5 days, he was out.
Yep.
Out of the hospital and home and well.
Well, you know what kind of makes me see red flags? And I'm a layman. So are you, our listener. And most of us aren't doctors, aren't experts in this field. But when I see that they don't show any statistics of people having the flu last year.
Yeah, nobody had the flu last year.
For all the years before, we had hundreds of thousands of people.
Yeah.
And many of them died from the flu.
Exactly.
But now they're showing nobody's dying from the flu.
Yeah, nobody died from the flu in 2020.
So that's a red
flag
for me.
There were people who died of COVID. What was interesting is the CDC reported, what was it, a month or 6 weeks ago, that mm-hmm. at least 52,000 of the deaths that they reported as COVID deaths. Oh, well, actually, the people didn't die of COVID. They didn't die of COVID. They had a heart attack.
Yeah. Well, but we all know that if you die with a heart attack and you do have COVID in your system, then the hospital is going to get more money if they can put on the death certificate COVID.
And there were people who have tested negative yeah. for COVID, and the doctor said, list them as COVID patients anyways. We get more money for them.
Follow the money.
We know nurses who tell us what's
yes.
going on. So
yeah.
there's not a lot of truth going on here. We have to pray for the triumph of truth. And we have to, you know, these aren't little guys. You know, this doctor here from Stanford, he's not, it's not me. This isn't my opinion.
No.
I'm not, Look at the facts. Yep. And I know I hear people say, well, there's, you know, you have doctors on both sides claiming
and
this,
you
that,
do.
And the other thing. And you do. But the reality is weigh what each doctor on each side is saying, and what is he using to back up his information. Okay, the America's Frontline Doctors was founded by Dr. Simone Gold, all right? And they put her in jail, right? For what? For trying to tell the truth. She and a bunch of doctors got together who are treating patients every single day, like the doctors who are writing to President Trump to say, hydroxychloroquine works. We don't need a vaccine. These patients can be cured. If you give them if you treat them early, you treat them aggressively with hydroxychloroquine and the proper nutrition, the vitamin C, the zinc, and the vitamin D in therapeutic dosage, they don't get sick. They don't have to go to a hospital. They don't need an ICU. They don't need a ventilator.
But we found out why she went to jail, because the vaccine, so-called vaccine, experimental vaccine, could not go out under the rules if there was no other...
If there was another treatment.
Treatment, then it couldn't come out. So we had to say no other treatments are allowed.
Right, no other treatments are available.
So thousands of people died because... they needed to get this vaccine
pushed through. Because the pharmaceutical companies wanted to make a lot of money. A
lot of money.
Pfizer, Moderna, all these firms, they wanted to make a lot of money. And it's interesting. President Trump gave an executive order that hydroxychloroquine, once he had these doctors write to him, he gave an executive order that hydroxychloroquine was to be made readily available to every patient in the United States of America. And instead, the CDC twisted that. The head of the CDC twisted that and said, oh, no, we can only use hydroxychloroquine in the cases of severe cases and in the ICU. Well, and then they twisted it that you can't use it.
And they also said it's not as effective at the end of the disease. Of course, it's not effective at all, because you need to do this in the early stages. All these treatments you're talking about need to be done early. Paul Clay's calling in. I love having Paul Clay. Paul Clay... from the Jesus 911, welcome to the Terry and Jesse Show. My bride is with me. What's on your mind, brother?
Hi, Mary Danielle.
Hello, Paul. Welcome.
Thank you. Every time I hear this type of conversation, Terry, it makes me just want to jump in, because what you're saying, what you guys are talking about is the absolute truth. It is clear that this thing is politically driven. Okay, because the people, there's just a conglomeration of forces that have united against the truth on this matter. And like you said, the reason why is if there's treatments for the disease, then it does not, you cannot have justify the release of something that was experimental. And that's why, you know, the there was such an emphasis to get this thing FDA approved, where they just kind of pushed it through. And you have all kinds of experts, you know, in the field saying, whoa. I mean, even the guy who had, we talked about it on another show, who invented mRNA technology.
Yeah, that's right.
He said, Dr. Malone.
Malone.
He says, listen, he says, I think that, the only, you know, we can justify, older people possibly taking the shot because of the risk benefit. The benefit might be greater than the risk. But when you start talking about mass vaccinations on something that has not been vetted properly, and of course they keep saying, oh, it has been. No, it hasn't. The reason why it takes so long to justify these types of drugs is because the only way it can be properly vetted is to look at what the long-term effect is in human subjects. That's the only way.
Right.
So it hasn't been around that long in order to be properly vetted. So we know, and I'm just, you know, as I think about it, and I have a son that's in the military and they're forcing people to take the vaccine. Mm-hmm. It's just a scary proposition. And I'm hoping that he just says no, absolutely not, and is willing to suffer the consequences for it, because this is just unheard of and it's un-American. And you have too many people, too many voices on the other side saying we need to pause and slow this down a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well said, Paul.
Yeah, Paul, how old is your son?
Oh, he's only 23.
Yeah, it's interesting, because Jen Psaki in a press conference said, we know now that these vaccines are...
Hang on.
Okay.
That's a great teaser. Wait till you hear what she said.
Jen Psaki
about
said
the safety about of the vaccine. You won't want to miss this when we come back on the Terry and Jesse Show on Virgin Most Powerful. It'll blow you away. And we've got Paul Clay. Paul, stay with us, man. We'll be right back with more on the Terry and Jesse Show. Stay with us, family.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Actually, it's Terry, Jesse. No, it's Terry, Mary Danielle, and Paul Clay filling in for Jess today. Mary, you were giving us a quote from President Biden's press secretary regarding the vaccine that about made me fall off my chair. Could you give us that quote?
Yes, Jen Psaki said, "We know now that these vaccines are perfectly safe, although they're potentially fatal for anyone under the age of 27.
I said, wait a minute, time out. Can you repeat that, young lady?
Yes. We know now that these vaccines are perfectly safe, although they are potentially fatal for anyone under the age of 27.
Is this microphone on? Did you hear that, folks? Mm-hmm. This is crazy, Paul. Paul, we're going to have a clip in a minute here from a doctor who actually has to say some things about the effectiveness of the vaccines. And again, this, my personal opinion means nothing. My wife for years, we got to go with the facts. But Paul, you were mentioning something about your son in the military. Please continue on what you were saying about this vaccine and what we think. What a good Christians, not just Catholics, but all of us. What do we need to do regarding this vaccine? Are we just sitting back and saying nothing, or are we going to address the issues? That's my question.
Well, you know, statistically, Terry, they said that less than 40% of the people in the Army have actually taken the jab.
Wow, I didn't know that.
There's a lot of people in the Army that do not want to take the jab.
Absolutely.
And yet the Secretary of Defense has mandated it now, and this is part of the reason why, you know, they put political pressure on the FDA to approve this vaccine.
So they could force
because
it.
They would be violating all kinds of, like, I think it was the Nuremberg
agreements.
So the issue is it's a very sad state of affairs. If you want to talk about putting our country at risk, you know, by mandating the vaccination of every member in the military, can you imagine, Terry, if the doctors that are saying we need to slow this thing down and we might be really causing death and destruction in people's lives down the road? Can you imagine that? It wipes out our entire military.
Yeah, exactly.
Pretty clever, isn't
wow.
it? Pretty clever.
Talk about a national security risk.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Kidding me?
Yeah.
Amazing. Paul, I've got Dr. Bauer, who's got a minute and a half clip to have to join in on this conversation. Mr. Engineer, let's play the clip and talk about that.
Finding is that we found that recipients of the Pfizer vaccine, those who've had two doses, have about 5 to 6-fold lower amounts of neutralizing antibodies. Now, these are the sort of gold standard private security antibodies of your immune system, which block the virus from getting into your cells in the first place. And so we found that that's less for people with two doses. We've also found that for people with only one dose of the Pfizer jab, that they are less likely to have high levels of these antibodies in their blood. And perhaps most importantly for all of us going forward is that we see that the older you are, the lower your levels are likely to be, and the time since you've had your second jab, as that time goes on, the lower your levels are also likely to be. So that's telling us that we're probably going to be needing to prioritize boosters for older and more vulnerable people coming up soon, especially if this new variant.
Wow. See, here again, they're forcing this on us. We have to have free will to say no. We just need, that's freedom. And, you know, you talked about the Nuremberg Code. Yeah. And, Paul, you know, there's another article here. It's been violated. Prominent medical experts blast FDA's approval. Go ahead, Paul.
No, yeah, just listen to what I've learned from this show so far today.
Mm-hmm.
What you're saying is that people who have taken the vaccine, the antibodies that God has, by the way, given our bodies this great ability to fight off diseases, but the main antibodies that we need become to prevent this virus from getting in become low.
Yeah.
And the viral load becomes greater.
Yes.
In people who have taken taken this up. I think you guys said about 250 times greater, right?
Right. Exactly.
51.
251.
Yeah. And if you think that years down the road that this type of stress on your immune system is not going to have bad effects, you have to be lying to yourself,
exactly.
Because with autoimmune disease on the rise, and we know, I mean, you remember when we were kids, guys, when autoimmune was something that was rarely heard of.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And as we got older, more and more and more, we hear about these autoimmune diseases, and they're becoming more and more prevalent. And that's, we live in a, I get it. I'm not an anti-vaxxer, at all.
Right.
I've never been an anti-vaxxer. But when we're trying out new technology, and I'm against it in principle because of the stem cells from aborted babies being used to test the efficacy. So I'm against it flat out. But beyond that, just this new technology that they are giving and testing on human beings, I just think that in the end, we're going to look back on this and say that it was a huge mistake. And the last thing I'd like to say before I hang up is, I have a daughter that is not Catholic, and she's a nurse. And she called me and she sent me a text that said, the Pope says that this is an act of love by getting the vaccine, essentially. Mm-hmm. And then I says, I disagree with the Pope. And she says, are you trying to tell me you're more Catholic than the Pope? And I said, listen, I said, a lot of people don't understand. The Pope does not speak. Everything he says is not, God-given truth. I said, rarely does a Pope speak from the chair of Peter. And I said, and that's his personal opinion. And our church teaches that, we are free to have our own personal opinion about things. And he's certainly no expert when it comes to virology So, I just want to remind people again that, we have freedom to make decisions based on our own conscience, based on our own research, based on, and I encourage everybody to pray about it.
Amen.
Just pray about it, because this is it's a decision that is something that is worthy of deep prayer and meditation.
Amen. And again, when we're making decisions based on our conscience, we need to make sure we have an informed conscience, that we know the facts. And that's why we want to talk about this on the show, to present the facts,
Amen.
To help people to understand that everything that the news media or that the president or his secretary of the press is saying is not the truth or the facts. Was it even Joe Biden said that? He said, I'm not interested in the facts. I just want to know the truth. Well, excuse me, President, I'm sorry. Yeah. How can you know the truth if you don't know the facts? How are truth and facts opposed to one another?
Well said.
Mary Danielle, I saw a video going around of Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, and all the who's who, and the Democrats, essentially, when the vaccine came out, they were like, we don't trust the CDC. We don't trust the, and I wouldn't take that jab, now all of a sudden, it's a complete opposite. But it just goes to show you, that these politicians, they will say and do anything, and they have absolutely no, most of them have no moral compass.
Unfortunately.
And it's very sad. Very sad.
You're right, Paul.
You're right, Paul.
Thank you for joining us on
thanks.
This, Paul.
Thank
Any
you.
Final thoughts?
Okay. Nope. Again, just
All
keep
right,
on
brother.
Fighting the good fight.
Good.
Amen. All right.
Amen. All right. Thanks again, Paul Clay from Jesus 911. And on Monday, we're going to be talking about spiritual warfare with Fulton J. Sheen, giving people an update on the beatification of Fulton Sheen. Full Sheen ahead, Paul. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Hey, we've got some, I want to give some good news. I got to give some good news here.
Yeah, amen.
Because
amen.
I got this is from the National Catholic Register story about a Father Vincent. He is celebrating his priesthood, and he tells a story when he was 25 years old. He's a Swiss man. He was involved in a terrible motorcycle accident that brought him very close to death. And he talks about this near-death experience, how it radically changed his approach to life.
Wow.
And a deep meaning he gave to his presence on earth. So he's going to talk about that. But when he was 25 years old, check this out. It sounds like a typical American. The guy had three jobs, right? Busy guy. Really he was busy. An actor in the evening. Hey, he was a radio host in the morning and a French teacher during the day. Now, he said, I lived a very fast life. One of my students said to me, hey, you always use the word quickly, quickly.
We're going to do this quickly. We're going to do that quickly. I'm going to teach you this quickly.
Yeah. But he said, what happened was when I thought about that night on my motorcycle, I started talking to God in my heart. What a great story. He says, I said to him, I know I'm going too fast and that this tick says something about my life. I'm doing too much and I wish I could break, but I don't know what to do. Well, he's talking to God, and by golly, here's what happens. He gets into a terrible collision. I won't go into all the details, but he's in the hospital. He's in intensive care. He had fractures all over his pelvis and internal bleeding. And he said that I could see the doctors working on me from above.
Right. Yeah, not about the experience where he was watching the doctors operating on him.
Yeah, which is not uncommon. And he was blown away by it. He said, I was suddenly thrown back into my body.
He flatlined during the operation, and so he was out of his body. And then all of a sudden, when they brought his heart, started again.
Yep.
He was thrown back into his body.
Yeah, and he said, a few months later, I talked about it with the doctor who performed the surgery, and I gave all the details, and he said, yeah. He even described certain people with their names that he had never met before. But he had, this out-of-body experience. Well, he said there were three main characteristics I observed in myself afterwards that I found in many near-death experiences. One, fact, I'm no longer afraid of death.
Wow.
The second element, he said, I will change my life. I went from having three jobs to a priestly vocation. Oh. And when we come back, we'll talk more about this young priest because I think it really affects a lot of people. Hey, don't forget, we've got a conference on the life of St. Joseph, the 18th of September. Father Murr will be there. Father Stephen will be there. Mary Danielle will be there. Go to vmpr.org to sign up for it or call 877-526-2151. When we come back, we'll finish our story about this young man who had that accident, now the priest. Stay with us, family.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. Mary Danielle's filling in for Jess. And we're talking about a beautiful testimony of a near-death experience paves the way to the priesthood. Father Vincent has an amazing story. You know, Danielle, in this story, he was 25 years old when he's got in his motorcycle accident. For those who just tuned in, he had a near-death experience, and it took him a couple years, 2 years, to really figure out, what's going on. He knew he had something, had a spirituality, so he checked out all the world religions.
Yeah.
And then went back to his Catholic faith, and now he's a Catholic priest, and he just shares this whenever he can, because I think it's a powerful testimony of how God, there's an old story by Bishop Sheen. He says, pain is God's megaphone, and that's what got his attention. So that's a beautiful testimony. I wanted to inspire you with that, and I got another inspirational story. Mary Danielle, can you share this particular story about a young man?
Well, there's a champion swimmer. He's 30 years old, and he's the first Filipino gold medalist at the Asian Games in 2018, and he's in Tokyo right now for the 2021 Paralympics.
Mm-hmm.
Because when his mother was pregnant with him, she was embarrassed that she was pregnant,
right.
So she decided to have an abortion, and the abortionist didn't actually complete the abortion, so he actually was born. He was born alive. He's handicapped. He was the subject of a lot of bullying because his legs, both of his legs, are badly handicapped, and his arm is one arm is badly handicapped. But he learned how to swim, and one of the coaches at school noticed that this kid can really swim. I mean, like, he can swim fast, and so the coach encouraged him to get on the swim team, And here he ends up in the, it's called the Paralympics, because he doesn't have feet. He has no feet, and he's missing one hand, most of it. So just beautiful, beautiful story. And of course, the determination and the perseverance that it takes for this young man too, to persevere in his life through the struggles that he has to go through. He doesn't have the use of his arms and legs the way we do. And yet this young man can swim.
And what I love about it is he's witnessing his faith, his Catholic faith, with his rosary. He puts Bible verses out like, God is the key. You know, I love it. And he said, I'm trying to pass on to people that life is sacred.
Life is sacred.
You know, we've had many people, several people that I've met who have had botched abortions on them, and they survived it.
Exactly.
And they become
abortion survivors.
What beautiful souls. And I think that God allows this to happen to really show the sanctity of life. And can you imagine the millions and millions of babies that have been snuffed out through abortion?
Right.
And when you see this, you go, wait a minute, we got to stop this. This is horrible. Yeah. This is terrible that we're killing our future offspring. I mean, can you imagine, Mary Danielle, if we were studying birds, elephants, whales, and we saw that they were killing their offspring?
Exactly. Scientists would say something's wrong. We need to do something. We need to correct something.
But not with us.
But somehow human beings can kill themselves, and that's not a problem. And parents can kill their children, and it's not an issue, you know. But here, Ernie Gawian, he's a fighter. He's a fighter. He's a great example to the world, you know, that I'm not going to let the handicaps of my life get me down or define me, that I am God's child. I'm made in his image as a person to be loved. And despite the fact that his poor mother, for whatever reason, thought she needed to kill him and it didn't work, God saved him. And he saved him to be a witness to the world that every life is precious. And you know what? God can forgive a sin. He can forgive any sin we've committed. It doesn't matter. If you've had an abortion, go to the Lord, apologize, tell him you're sorry, and tell yourself you're sorry. Forgive yourself and tell the child that you're sorry.
Amen. Last thing I want to inspire you with, something that Father Frank Pavone, who was on Monday, talked about a little, about this National Geographic documentary of the development of the unborn child. Whenever somebody tells me it's not a baby, I'd like to just show them this footage.
Yeah.
Because what's interesting, Mary, we know what ultrasound is. Dr. Bernard Nathanson put out the silent scream video,
right,
and that it's still on YouTube, and it affects people positively to show that it's a baby in the mother's womb. But this takes it to a whole nother level because it's in color. And it shows things like, by the end of the eighth week, the baby has definitely formed toes, tuxes, it fletches, it's squinting. The brain is highly complex. It makes up almost half the body's weight. But by 9 weeks, the baby there, you got a picture of sucking his thumb. As Father Frank Pavone pointed out, it's widely known in the pro-life movement that ultrasound images change people's minds. About 80% of the people who see it.
Exactly. If you can, they've discovered now, they have the, you know, Saving the Storks and these ultrasound vans that go around and they park outside of abortion clinics and they just offer women an opportunity to see the baby that lives inside of them.
That's right.
And 8 out of 10 women will change their mind. Even if they have scheduled an abortion, they'll say, no, I don't want to kill my baby. The reality is that women don't usually want to kill their babies. They feel forced or coerced or like that, shamed into doing this. Children are a gift, and every woman knows. One of my nieces had a bumper sticker. If it's not a baby, you're not pregnant. So if you're pregnant, it's a baby.
Amen.
No matter how small it is, that's a human being growing inside of you. And it's not your body. It's separate. It's a separate entity. But let's get this documentary
Absolutely.
Out. That this is
National,
you know,
Geographic.
National Geographic.
It's not a Catholic organization.
No, it's just a National
Geographic.
They just did it.
Facts.
Your life before birth.
Yep.
National Geographic. Your life before birth. Look this video up on National Geographic. Watch it. Show it to your children.
Yep.
Show it to your neighbors, your friends, and pray. Let's pray.
Yeah.
For
and
the
you
world.
Know that's exactly right. Before we talk a little bit about the Bible with the barbers coming up, I want to give something that a good priest gave me. He said, how can we be part of the solution?
Amen.
How can we do this? We can only do this by uniting ourselves to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And he asked us questions that I ask myself now. How much time each day do we spend taking in the message of God?
Good
compared
question.
To taking the message of the world?
Mm-hmm.
He says, God has not abandoned us.
No.
He is present in our tabernacles. He's present in our souls in the state of sanctifying grace. The priest says, do we take advantage of Eucharistic adoration and spend time in mental prayer? He gives us his own mother to be our own mother. I love it. Do we pray Our Lady's Rosary? Have we made the first five Saturdays? And this priest says, furthermore, I'm convinced that God is promoting two particular devotions today. Devotion to the Holy Face of Jesus and devotion to Saint Joseph. Pope Pius XI stated, the salutary reparation of the Holy Face of Jesus is a divine work destined, are you ready, to save modern history. Mary Danielle, I have to share this because right after this show, we start the Bible with the Barbers, and I want to remind everybody two things. Father Murr and Father Stephen and yourself are going to be giving some talks on the St. Joseph and the family the 18th of September. And it's going to be, we're going to have Mass, we'll have confessions available. Take advantage of this little day of recollection. Learn a lot about St. Joseph and the year of St. Joseph. Get the confession, Holy Mass, get some good talks given to you. And the way you can do that is go to vmpr.org or call us at 877-526-2151. And for those of you who love the Bible, which I think are all of you, I hope and pray, check out the Bible with the Barbers. It's coming up right after this show. If it's not on your AM station, go to vmpr.org. Download the free app. You can hear it anywhere in the world. Mary Danielle, let's talk about what we're going to be talking about after this program with the Bible and the Barbers.
Well, we're going to talk about the feast of today, which is St. Monica, and then what that means. And again, the saints are the living gospel, as it were. The gospel comes alive in the lives of the saints. And by the way, we're going to talk about that too. Is sanctity just for a few people, you know, an exclusive crowd there? And then we want to talk about wisdom. And because in the gospel, it talks about the wise versions and the foolish versions. So how do we gain this wisdom that the wise versions has? What is this?
And I also want to say it's going to be a biblical worldview of everything we have to say.
Yeah.
And I think all of you would like that. How do we have this biblical worldview in everything that we do? And we have God's love letter, which is the Bible. We have Holy Mother, the Church, who helps us understand the Bible. And what Mary's going to do is take the best of the best from the fathers of the church, the saints, and give commentary on these scripture verses so that you and me, all of us, can learn from this and apply it in our life.
Amen. And we want to remember that God is with us in all of this, that God is God and we are not. And the reality is no matter what's going on in the world, you know, we have the story of the apostles were in the boat and the storm was all around them and Jesus is sleeping and they're all scared. And yet he's right there and they're worried about the storm. And then he wakes up and he says, you know, he calms the storm and he says, well, why were you afraid? And the other instance when they're in a storm and Jesus comes walking to them on the water. And Peter says, well, if it's really you, Lord, tell me to get out of the boat and come to, well, what's he supposed to do? It is me, Peter. So come on. Well, so Peter's doing fine until he perceives the wind and the waves. Mm. So are we just looking at the wind and the waves? Where is our focus? Where is our focus? It's like this young man we talked about, Ernie, from the Philippines, his father abandoned him. His mother died when he was 15 months old. His grandparents raised him. But then they sent him to a school that was run by the sisters.
That's right.
And there he discovered that when he was in the water, nobody could see that he was handicapped. And so, you know, it was like, and he loved the water. He began to love the water. But the sisters taught him the faith, and they taught him how to pray. And he discovered that he could offer everything in union with Jesus.
To help redeem the world.
And that's, you know, we want to remember that no matter what is going on in the world, even if our freedoms are fully taken away from us, God has a purpose. And, you know, one of our app listeners this week, I wanted to mention, he asked for prayers because his family has COVID. But he said, you know, in the midst of this, I want you to all know, we're offering our sufferings for Virgin Most Powerful Radio.
Wow.
Thank you.
That's powerful.
Thank you, thank you, thank you for all of those out there who are suffering and are offering their sufferings. Let's pray for one another and ask the Lord to build us up in our faith.
Remember, the little flower said to pick up a pin for love and convert a soul. It is Jesus alone who can give such a value to our actions. Let us then love with his love all of our heart. Mary Danielle, what state should we be living in?
State of grace.
What state shouldn't we be living in?
Mortal sin.
How do we get out of it? Get the confession. Hey, up next, Bible with the Barbers. Get the app, the free app. Go to vmpr.org, and you can get that app to listen to all of our shows here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Thanks again for all your support. You can become a monthly donor by going to vmpr.org. We'll give you all kinds of programming. Scott Hahn, Fulton Sheen, all the good guys. May God richly bless you and your family.